Okay, well, why don't we break into the new craze that has hit.
What's that? What is the new craze?
That is rising. Johnny Wizarco can tell you about it. He's more involved with that than I am.
All right.
This is an interview conducted with Mickey Dolenz and Davy Jones of the Monkees. It was conducted by Peter Rexford, myself, and Libby Bryant in Hollywood at the Starwood a mere 3 weeks ago. And this is the interview. Well, it would be the interview if we could find out how to turn it on.
You're doing now?
Yeah, well, of course, we'd like to. There is a rumor. Don't tell them you heard it from me. That the four original Monkees were recording it.
Really?
Oh, okay. Now, my next question. Christmas time, there was a record released, I believe it was a 45, with three of the Monkees, yourself, Davy, and Peter.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about that record?
That was done by a friend of ours named Douglas Farthing Cantlett, or Chip Douglas, depending upon which album you got, where he produced. He produced of us originally, the Monkees, and he's just always been a good friend. And he had this Christmas song, and he loved it. He said, Davy and I come over and sing and play on it. And we did it, and it came out real cute. And it was a record. It wasn't really officially released. It was just for our friends and fans that we gave away. And just, you know, it was happened just a couple of weeks before Christmas. It was more like a present. It wasn't really an official release. It may be released next year, but I think it's a great little song.
Great. Well, listen, back in the day, about, say, 8 or 9 years ago, when you're being with a television show, with massive tours, with massive audiences, you were compared by a lot of people to the beginnings with the name, the style, the whole format of the Beatles. Do you agree, and did you see yourself, and do you see yourself maybe keeping on going with new styles of music, new presentations?
Not me personally. I'll have to speak for myself, because we were all individuals. We were not a rock and roll group. We never were, really. Well, we actually became one. The fantasy became the reality. The analogy is more like Bonanza. You know, we were hired to play the parts of rock and roll. Because I was an actor, and I was hired to play the part of a drummer. And I became a drummer. But I parallel us more to the Marx Brothers.
What happened?
Actually, than the Beatles.
Who would you be in the Marx Brothers, would you think?
Who would I be in the Marx Brothers if we were the if I was the Marx Brothers? Who would I be? Which one? Which one would I be in the Marx Brothers? Mickey. Oh, I'd be Mickey. He was one of the brothers. Mickey Marx. Yeah. You never heard from him. He's an accountant in Doherty.
Great. Well, listen. Hey, we don't want to tie up or anything.
Here's little Davy Jones. Would love to say a few words. These guys are a real nice special, and they are.
Davy, a few words for the radio listeners out there.
A few words. What should I say?
No, listen.
Why don't you talk about the bootleg album of the Monkees live at Disneyland that's now available in Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah? Where can we get that?
You haven't heard of it? You haven't seen it?
No.
I just saw it. No, at the record... Are you familiar with the record collector small meet on Sundays out at the Capitol Record Building?
That's right. Yeah. Changes are selling for $25 to $100.
Oh, yeah. Do you have any idea how many copies of that were pressed?
No.
Someone...
I got like perfect. My wife is down. There are a whole bunch of us.
Really?
Look, we're trying to... Did you see Christine DeBell?
No.
She came to see
her.
She's supposed to be. We've lost her. That's why I was hoping maybe...
For the second show she's coming?
No, we're here
for
the second show, but I was hoping you might have seen her at the first show. You know who she played Alice Wonderland?
Blonde? Yeah, I know who it is, but I didn't see her. She came up to say hi.
Okay, well, maybe.
Sally, great. Do you have a table in your office?
No, we don't have anything.
Oh, boy.
That's cool. I'll see if we can't find Chris. We may have to find him.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
gee.
But at any rate, I'll try and get Ronnie up soon.
Okay.
Talk about him.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, I'm in the middle of an interview here. Then I'll come right out. I'll be right out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch the show for sure.
Okay.
Half an hour.
This is on.
Mickey,
I think so.
Mickey, what
happened? 45 minutes.
There's Steve. Have you seen Christine DeVille?
Christine DeVille is
awesome.
Yes, I know. I haven't seen her.
First show.
Do you know Sally Kirkland, Steve? Will you, Ronnie Blake is out there with Sally. Will you take care of him and make sure that they get taken care of? Thank you.
What happened to Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hartz, who toured with you for what, the last 2 years, I guess?
Tommy Hart and Bobby. Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart were in a show with Davy and I, and the show was called The Golden Great Hits of the Monkees Show.
Right.
And that show ran for about a year and a half. Now we're doing a different show.
Okay.
A different cast. way.
No hard feelings between the four of you, right?
No. Okay. Any more than I assume there's hard feelings when Eddie Mame went off Broadway. I don't think the people...
All right, I was told that I think Tommy Boyce was in a new group over in England right now.
Tommy's in England. I don't think he's in a new group. He's changed his name to Tommy Fortune, and he wrote he had a hit record over there as a writer. Big record over there, and he's over there, and he's just released a record on A&M.
All right.
And Bobby was here tonight, as a matter of fact. And Bobby writes tremendous songs. I mean, Bobby always has a hit on the chart, it seems.
The show that we saw tonight, how long have you been with that show? In other words, how many performances?
What time is it? literally about 20 minutes. I mean, the first time we did the show in Toto was last night. Remember Toto? Little dog and Allison.
Oh, sure.
I mean, in
Wizard of Oz, yeah.
No, in Toto was last night, our opening show, because we didn't really have a dress rehearsal. And the show is a brainchild of Mr. Davy Jones. He chose the material and choreographed it. And it's the direction we've always wanted to go, and he finally got off his ass and did it.
How did you feel about Japan on the Japanese tour?
Well, I had a broken arm. This last one we didn't?
Hang gliding. Tired?
David, we were all very tired. It was ridiculous. It was crazy, and I had a broken arm, so I couldn't I couldn't really support my end of the show. I had to just kind of hobble around, and so Davey had a tremendous load on his shoulders, and so it was fun, and you know, we got to see a lot of sewers.
How much actual?
It's the only thing they have back there.
How much actual touring did you do with the Monkees, with the original Monkees, the four of you?
We did about 200 concerts.
200 concerts?
What?
Really?
Well, he did?
He took off his shoes.
Did he? Really? I would have said 20 or 30. We did 200?
Yeah.
I wasn't awake. I fell asleep about 1965 and I woke up about 1971.
A lot of people have told me that Jimi Hendrix used to open the shows for you back then.
He was our opening act, yeah.
Incredible.
Also, the Fifth Dimension opened our show.
Yeah.
Just before I'm popping away.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, nice to see you.
Hi. Nice to meet you. Hey, did you find Christine?
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I saw you come bumping in there.
Hey, you're looking good.
Do you have any idea how many songs were recorded with the Monkees that were never released? A lot of the old television shows have songs playing, you know, in the back of the show that have never made it onto an album.
You gonna see the show?
No, I think we should go down there, baby.
Okay, I'll tell you what you're looking for. See the show, see after the show.
Right, on the old shows,
we recorded two songs for every show for the first year. We recorded we had a total of about 8 albums or 9 albums. It was like, in the beginning we had 12 songs, then it went down to about 11. We recorded for the show maybe... also including the albums, about 200 songs. I have a sheet at home of the songs. Most of the songs were never released.
That's incredible. Why?
They were just recorded and put onto the TV show. Because originally the idea was not to release records as the Monkees. The idea was to put songs into a show that was about a rock and roll group trying to make it. We left the stage door and we walked out onto the street and we'd already made it. The idea, the concept of the Monkees was that it was a struggling rock and roll group trying to make it. But, you know, a couple of shows, we walked outside the studio.
Who now owns those songs?
RCA, Screen Gems, they don't really do anything.
Right, I asked Mickey a moment ago if you knew of any plans to re-release...
Yeah, they re-released the Golden Greatest of the Monkees.
Right, but if any chance of re-releasing some of these unreleased recordings?
I doubt it. I have a list at home of all those that were... Most of them were voice and heart tunes.
Is the reason that you don't use the name The Monkees is because one of Screen Gems or RCA now owns that title, or...?
No, it's not that at all. It's because we're not The Monkees. It's Mickey Dolenz and Davy Jones. We can't until Peter and Mike join us, which they're going to do this year, call ourselves The Monkees. We'll call ourselves The Monkees.
Now, Mickey just mentioned... slight possibility of an actual Monkees reunion with the four original members doing an album or something.
Yeah,
what can you tell me about it?
Clive Davis, Arista Records, is interested in producing an album. We have an offer for NBC Television to do a TV show, a special. And we'll probably get together this year sometime, maybe June, May, June, to do it. We hope to be working in clubs in Las Vegas and places like that in the next 3 or 4 months.
That's great. Well, you certainly have a tremendous cult audience right now, a tremendous cult following. There are monkey collectors, as I was telling Mickey, that are paying. The lowest I've seen your Changes album go for is $25. I've seen it go for as much as $100. There's rumors of a very rare monkey album called Monkeys LTD. Do you know anything about that?
That was like one of the Golden Great Hits albums that they put together, which wasn't really publicized. It didn't sell anything.
That one goes for about $200.
Oh, yeah?
So there's a tremendous market. Obviously, what you're doing is really respected now. You know, you're respected for, apparently, you know, back then there were always, as you know, problems of, you know, people not sure where the monkeys stood with music, you know, not as actors or performers, but with music.
I think we're always a little ahead of our time, the whole concept. You know, when we put our stage show together, it was the first time that anybody had ever brought a 40-foot screen and projected stuff. We had, you know, special effects and lighting and the same guys that we're doing tonight, but now everybody's doing it. Fortunately, nobody else saw the show but 13-year-old kids. Nothing ever much happened. And even on the television show, well, obviously the television show was very innovative. Nobody criticized that much because that was, you know, it was very obvious. The music, I think, was because we came out of left field. We had hit records without going through the proper channels.
Dick Clark.
We didn't need...
Ken Dick.
Yeah, we didn't need... Rolling Stone. You know, and I think they resented it. I think a lot of the people in the record industry resented the fact that the heavies, that all of a sudden from left field came this group that had hit records, whether or not they knew they had anything to do with it. And we were doing things like using great musicians, like everybody does now. You know, everybody has a list in the back of their albums a mile long of the musicians. That's the only mistake we made, is not putting the list of the musicians that helped us. I thought that was a mistake in retrospect. But from the beginning, it was like, besides the great studio cast, like Earl Palmer and Jimmy Gordon, and the first record I ever did, Glenn Campbell played on. He was the studio guy.
He did not mind you. Dream lover,
really?
Where are you?
What was the guy, the bass player that you played it on? It was Larry Taylor.
Larry Taylor.
Bass player.
Joe Osborne.
Louis Shelton was the lead guitar player on all the Valerie, you know, Clark.
Also, did you speak about the people that wrote all our songs?
Well, I'll speak about the people that wrote all our songs.
Great talent.
Well, obviously, you know about, you know, the Carol King.
And
Goffin and King. Harry Nilsson had his first hit ever with us.
Neil Diamond.
And Neil Diamond had a giant hit, our biggest hit with Neil Diamond songs. Paul Williams and Neil Sedaka. Tommy Boys and Bobby Hart. I mean, he wrote a tremendous amount of material. I mean, they had to come out with three songs a week. Can you imagine them trying to pump out songs that fast? Good.
Do you have a favorite song from the old days, a song that you always really enjoyed, still enjoy singing?
One that I'd like to do, and I'd talk Davey into doing it, is Sometime in the Morning.
Well, we're having a marathon to get money for tape recorders. The tape recorder you've just been listening to is a Sony. It's RSHO-19471. It's about to be taken out bat and shot. Oh, I see the clue. It has just eaten a very rare interview. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the last human beings alive on the planet Earth to hear that interview. It is now dead. It was eaten by an RSHO-19471 Sony tape recorder. Now, part of the money, very seriously, part of the money that's going from these marathons is going to be to replace cassette recorders like...
cassette deck. I labored with that to get that interview. The TC, I won't say the rest of it, but that cassette deck just ate it. Please, give us money for equipment. Please, that's the only interview of that sort in existence. We were the only people granted that interview. That interview has just been eaten by chaos equipment. Please call up and subscribe, pledge some money so we can get some new equipment. Our prized interview.
That really
is Peter Rexford falling in the shock.
Thank you, Peter. That really is awful. I don't think you guys should continue the tape in that recorder. I'm sorry, because that was really very interesting. The tape recorder is now being moved to the top of the clock tower of the Evergreen State College campus, where it's going to be thrown, plummeting, at an amazing feat. No, I'm reverberating in the background. That really is too bad. Again, we are having a marathon, and if your dollars do go to prevent chronic diseases such as the ones that you've witnessed in front of your very eyes, really very tragic. And now, more music.